Hi, welcome to my presentation about developing for the AWS Nitro Enclaves platform. I'm Roos Strax and I have a PhD in confidential computing from back in the day when it was still called Protected Module Architectures. At the moment I work for Fortinix, where I'm a senior software engineer, where I help to improve the EDP development platform. So, Nitro Enclaves. So before we actually start, let me give some historic context. I think it's interesting to see where these ideas actually come from and how these could actually be implemented in practice. So AWS, just like any other big company, doesn't give complete overview or complete details on how they implemented things. Sometimes that's a little bit annoying. So with this historic context, at least you can have some idea of how this could be implemented, or at least you have a paper that you could go and read. So this confidential computing, for me, it started with AppCores, which is a very cool idea of simply extracting security-sensitive parts of an application. Back in the day, in 2006, there was an implementation based on a microkernel and DPM chips, so authenticated boot. Then two years later, Jonathan McCune did some implementation using late launch capabilities of AMD chips. Now Intel has something similar with Intel TXT. Then there was an idea of actually providing some hardware, so dedicated hardware support for this. And then at the same year, Jonathan McCune again came out with an idea of simply using a virtual machine monitor, so hypervisor, to do the actual implementation, so no dedicated hardware support would be needed anymore. Similarly, Fides, more or less does the same thing as TrustVisor, but uses a separate VM in order to minimize the performance overhead. Then in 2012, there was a very interesting paper from Peter Achte, who actually talked about full abstract compilation, and it's a it's a formal proof that basically says that these capabilities that confidential computing provides is actually sufficient, that this can actually provide some real security guarantees that we would want. So if you're working in this field and you don't know this paper, I really recommend it. I think it's one of the best papers in this field. And then of course in 2013, everything changed. Because Intel actually implemented this in their core processor, so starting from Skylake. And then interestingly, the very first thing that people did when Intel SGX came out is trying to run complete legacy applications inside an SGX enclave. So where does the AWS Nitro or Nitro enclaves fit in? It's just like Fides and TrustVisor, they're also based on a hypervisor technology. Now the Nitro system, the Nitro system is basically the system where Nitro enclaves depend upon. And the Nitro system depends on three main components. The first one being the Nitro security chip. So this is a separate chip on the motherboard that actually protects hardware resources. So it actually is able to measure everything, for example, going like firmware going to the CPUs. And this chip also forms the hardware root of trust. Then you have other peripherals called Nitro cards, which are custom designs made for AWS and actually do specialized things for them. For example, you have a card for VPC networking, another one for elastic block storage. And things like that. And then the third component is a Nitro hypervisor, which is a very lightweight hypervisor. It only protects main memory and the CPU. So all the other peripherals simply go straight through to a very specific VM. And this actually causes it to be like a bare metal like performance. So if you want to know more about how this is possible and how minimal you can actually make this hypervisor, then you should actually go and read the Fides and the TrustVisor papers. So AWS Nitro, like I said, These are the actual enclaves I will be talking about in this talk, and these are based on this NITRO system. Now, how does it look like? On the one hand, you have your parent VM, which is the untrusted part of this architecture. And on the other hand, you have a completely separate VM called NITRO Enclave, with its own operating system, its own applications. But this NITRO Enclave, the only thing it can do is talk to the parent VM using a VSOC interface. Now, VSOC, if you don't know it, it's basically the same as a TCP connection, but then specifically designed to communicate between VMs or between a VM and a hypervisor. Also interesting here in this design is that the main memory is also completely encrypted. So if I see or see the presentations correctly from AWS, then it's a separate chip in main memory that automatically and transparently encrypts all memory that actually passes through to that memory chip. So how does this actually work in practice? How do you start using this? It's actually quite easy. So the first thing that you need to do is to simply start a new parent VM. So just like you would start any VM on AWS, the only thing that you need to make sure is that it's NITRO capable. So this can be either x86 or ARM. So it doesn't really matter on which architecture you're running on. The second thing what you do then is you reserve some CPU and main memory. So you basically carve out some resources for the enclave. And then you have to create your EIF enclave file. This is quite easy for starting from a Docker image. AWS provides you with the tool to actually do this. And then you can start the untrusted services in the parent VM. So like I said, the only thing that the Enclave VM has access to is this parent VM using a VSOC interface. Besides that, it only has the CPU and main memory that you carved out for it. And that's basically it. Can't access the network directly if you want to do network I/O or you actually want to access a file system. You can only do that through this VSOC interface. And then you actually start your enclave and then you can start communicating with this enclave. And then eventually the parent VM can simply say, okay, I'm done with this enclave, please terminate it. And then you have this situation again. Now, simply starting an enclave VM isn't really what you exactly want. Or actually, you also need attestation. So attestation means you want to be able to prove to a third party that you actually started the intended enclave correctly on a trustworthy system. Of course, AWS also has support for this. And it's VMM-based, which means that it can be a little bit easier than the approach taken by Intel SGX, for example. Again, if you want to learn more about this, then I would definitely recommend going to the TrustVisor paper or maybe even the Flickr paper. So how does it work in practice? Well, you simply call the hypervisor directly from inside your NITRO enclave, and you provide it with a nonce, a public key, and or user data. And this is the input to this service. And what you get back is an attestation document. Now, this attestation document is completely signed by AWS. So there is you also get back a certificate chain going from the public key, the private key that signed this. This attestation document all the way down to a root CA for AWS. Now, what does it contain? Apart from the input that you provided, it also contains a list of PCR register values. And a PCR register, it stands for Platform Configuration Register. So again, this comes back from the days of TPM chips. And a PCR register is a bit special. It's not general register in the sense that you can't set it to a specific value. The only thing that you can do is extend it. And extending it means take the current value of your PCR, append the value that you want to extend it with, pass the combination of those two down to a cryptographic hash function, and the output is a new value of your PCR register. So this basically means that you can only extend it, you can't set it to a specific value, and that's where the security properties come from. In the attestation document, there is a maximum of 32 PCR registers at the moment, but AWS only reserves 6 or 7 for its own. And these include things like the Linux kernel used and the application itself. You can actually use this to do something meaningful. One of the things that you may want to use it for is, of course, like I said, talking to a third party. And one option there is using the AWS key management service to actually store a key belonging to a NITRO enclave. Like I said, NITRO enclaves, they're not persistent. They can disappear at any moment in time. And of course, if you want to be able to store some data specifically for an enclave, the only thing that you can do is have to store the cryptographic key in a third party, so meaning AWS or of course the DSM, so Data Security Manager of Fortinet, can also be used for that. So what are the challenges? One of the main challenges here is deciding what to protect. There are basically two options. You can choose to protect legacy apps. Of course, very interesting for industry because they have a lot of workloads that they already have running in the cloud and they want to have some more security guarantees. And then for that part, simply porting legacy applications is definitely an interesting approach. Of course, it has a downside, meaning that the DCB and the attack service can be quite large still. Of course, it's smaller than if you would simply run things in the parent VM, but still. And then you also have some challenges writing this security, the secure interface, and the application itself may still be vulnerable to some attacks. Another option then is to completely rewrite new applications. And then, of course, it's more or less the same problem of have to design this interface between what's going to be in the NITRO enclave, so the trusted part, and what's going to be end up in the untrusted part, and how you're going to define this interface for this. And that's a problem there, but where EDP comes in to actually handle this very nicely. So what's EDP? EDP stands for Enclave Development Platform. It's extremely easy to use. So the idea is simply to let developers write Rust code just as they were used to. It's very closely integrated with the Rust compiler and other Rust compiler tools. And you don't have to write untrusted code in most cases. Also interesting here is that you only have to build your code once. You can run it on various platforms. So simply recompile it for Intel SGX or recompile it for AWS and NITRO enclaves. And of course, a very important third feature of EDP is of course that it's secure. We have very carefully created this interface between the trusted and the untrusted part. And we have to make sure that the TCP or the attack surface is minimal. And then of course, final interesting thing is that it's open source. So how do you actually use this? Like I said, we use the standard Rust code, which means that a developer can simply start writing its main function that will start executing inside the NITRO enclave. And if he or she needs something, for example, TCP connection to the outside world, he or she is still able to use the standard library for this. So by modifying the standard library, we have made sure that we have a proxy running in the parent VM, and that actually provides the untrusted parts for this. Now, sometimes that's not available, and if it's not available, this means that it's probably insecure, so you can't really use it as a developer. Or if it's really something special that you need, you may have to implement your own untrusted service, and but you have made sure that this can also be done quite easily. Then another component, like I said, is the Enclave Runner. So this Enclave Runner actually does everything from launching the Enclave to terminating it to providing untrusted services, including this PSOC network connection. And then, of course, the Enclave part, it's a specially created application by us. It uses the user code to build it, of course, but then it's linked together with the EDP standard library that we modified, and the Muzzle library, so a libc implementation. All that is statically linked to a single application, and this single application runs on a bare Linux kernel. So how does this work in practice? This actually works quite nicely. So this is an example of web server that is simply copy-pasted from the Iron Crate. And in order to run this inside an AWS Nitro enclave, the only thing that you need to do is you have to specify the correct build target for this. So this will so simply doing this cargo run command will actually build the enclave, start the enclave runner, start untrusted service, and start the enclave itself. So conclusion, I think that EDP is a very easy, secure development platform, and more targets are to come. Also, look, if you look at the bigger picture, we have known for a long time how to protect data at rest and in transit. And I think with now, with confidential computing, we do know how to protect data in use as well. So there, we definitely learned quite a lot over the last few decades. We know how, which program languages to use. We know, based on this work on fully abstract compilation, we know what the end goal should be and where to get there. And we know how to do some formal verification of key aspects of an enclave. So I think all of this combined, I think we can actually leave the dark ages of insecure software behind us and actually start something which actually provides strong security guarantees for us. And that's the end of my presentation. Thank you.
Say something. Hi.
Hello.
Yes. Oh, finally. Great. Thank you for the talk.
You're very welcome.
We have several questions, probably from my side. I don't see nothing in the chat. Okay, so just a, let's say, kind of philosophical question. Mm-hmm. When we use a trusted execution environment, well, when we use confidential computing, I would say, we want to trust our hardware provider and don't trust our service provider. In the case of Nitro enclaves, the service provider and hardware provider is the same entity. So mm-hmm. What would you say? Is this a platform for confidential computing, or how do you consider it?
No, I think that you have a point there. So you do have to trust Amazon in this case. Well, Amazon and Intel or ARM or whoever made your platform. So I do think that this is indeed a downside of AWS Nitro enclaves. On the other hand, I think if Amazon really wants to, they can actually provide some better security guarantees, like making sure that this is a separate part of the company, that you have guarantees that no changes have been made to the hypervisor, things like that. So actually making sure that this entire AWS Nitro Enclave system is auditable, I think would actually add a lot of value. Whether they will do this or not depends on Amazon. And the real question there is whether industry will actually demand it or not. On the other hand, if you look at, for example, the Intel SDX, I'm not convinced that Intel cannot make a modification in microcode without you actually knowing that these things happen.
Need to trust it to Intel anyway.
Yes, indeed.
Okay. So you mentioned that you can run only single programs, so multi-process programs like PostgreSQL will not work, right?
So I missed the part. So you do can create multiple applications inside the Enclave.
We're speaking about your platform.
After EDP.
Yes.
Yes. So at the moment, it's only one application, but we can create multiple threads written in Rust, of course. I don't really see an issue with that. Is that something that you're thinking about specifically?
No, well, I'm just reminded that probably programs that on the first look like a single process, in fact, may spawn multiple processes, and PostgreSQL is one of them.
Yeah, but EDP is only for new created applications. So
for new, okay. Yeah. So we
do have a solution where you can run legacy applications in the parent VM.
The EDP platform abstracts underlying T platforms, right? And different T's have different features, particularly SGX allows you to access untrusted memory, while virtual machines doesn't. How do you expose this feature? Or you found the common denominator or what?
So the interface that we defined for Intel SDX, it's already an abstraction about whether or not you can actually do this, whether you can write outside of the enclave to unprotected memory. So the Nitro platform works